got peace like a river, blowing from the heart of the giver. Go ahead and turn to. Let's just go to the 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start there. We've been talking over the last several weeks, and we're going to do our best to wrap it up today. I just felt like today was supposed to be it. Again, doesn't mean that as this week goes across, that something else is not going to be stirred up inside of me, but there was an area that I knew that as I was a couple weeks ago that I knew I had to get to, and I began doing a lot of studying on it, and it actually grew a little bit more than I thought it was going to be. And we started last week just really how we build that time of intimacy with God. Sometimes it's easy to say you need to be intimate with Him, but how do you build it? How do you go? How do you move into that? And so that's what we really wanted. I really felt like we needed to finish up. And then, of course, as I studied it, the more I studied it, the more it developed and got more scriptures and all that fun stuff. Because, amen, that's just the way it rolls. When you're hungry, when you're ready for the Word, that's just the Lord will reveal Himself big time to you. So we'll go ahead and just kind of give a little bit of introductory stuff, and then we'll step into continuing where we left off last week with the steps towards that intimacy. Now, again, when we're dealing with intimacy, we're talking about just really knowing somebody to a deeper level, being known by that person to a deeper level, not just being surface relationships, I guess you'd say, or factual information. That's what we know is all we know is that we have facts about somebody. A lot of times, churches, that's how you test on if somebody really knows God is just can they pass a test? Do they know the stories of the Bible? Do you know that? But we don't. It's not about knowing the stories of the Bible. It's a good start. I think everybody should know the accounts that are given in the Bible. But I think what is even more important is knowing the God of those stories, knowing who He is, because that's where the intimacy comes in. And that's what we've just been dealing with here, is getting to know Him at a deeper level. Bill Johnson said it like this: royalty is my identity, servanthood is my assignment, and intimacy with God is my life source. And again, I believe that we've missed that part of it. I think we've looked at, understand what I'm saying, we've looked at prayer as important. We've looked at church as important. We've looked at just even the Bible reading is important. And all those things are, but what it culminates in, the overriding thing that is essential there is knowing Him. Because there are people, they'll pray, they'll go to prayer meetings, they'll do all that kind of stuff, and it really becomes a job for them. You know, all right, I got to pray. I got to read my Bible. All right, I got to. And it's not the intimacy. It's not the I want to know Him. I want to know His secrets. I want to know His ways. It becomes more about doing something, and they're missing out on the intimacy, the love relationship. And in 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, notice that we love this. As a matter of fact, I can, let's say, grace and peace, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, in Jesus Christ, and of Jesus our Lord. We love this scripture. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby our given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things we might be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now again, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Woohoo! Grace and peace be multiplied to us. Woohoo! You know, and I've got His divine nature. Woohoo! And we get real excited about those scriptures because we like them, and they're faith scriptures, and they're scriptures that say that God has placed the authority and the power and dominion in our hands to enjoy what we're believing God for, that it's up to us. We like that kind of stuff, and we should. But when you're missing parts of scriptures, when you miss these little words or these little group of words, you're missing the key to having and walking in His divine nature. You're missing the key to having and enjoying all things that pertain to life and godliness. You're missing the key to having grace and irene or shalom, where all things are perfect, beautiful. Hallelujah. Shalom. What's our definition of it? Nothing broken, nothing missing. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad someone knows this stuff. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Complete tranquility, because we know that's the way it is, because God's taking care of it. So grace and peace, He multiplied you. All right. We know people, maybe even ourselves, that grace and peace is perhaps not the biggest thing in their lives. And they're Christians. What's the deal? Oh, because it says through the knowledge of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so you're going to get that, you're going to have that through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All right, we know some Christians who are born again, who have not received all the blessings of God that pertain to life and godliness. You know, what's up with that? Oh, because it says through the knowledge of Him. In other words, walking in that divine power and walking in receiving all that is, it runs through. If it doesn't go through the knowledge of Him, then you're not getting it. If it doesn't run through that, you're not going to walk in grace and peace. Now again, some of us are going, but I know, I've got information. I listen, I take notes, and I hear what Pastor Thad's saying, and I could pass a test if Pastor Thad gave us a test, right? And again, I love, Apostle says that all the time in regards to faith. He said, there's a lot of people here that could pass a faith test. If we gave you a 100 question test on faith, you would pass it because you know the right answers. But that ain't how you pass faith tests. You pass faith tests by walking it out. And so how we get this, though, the knowledge of Him, knowing Him. What is that? That word knowledge means full discernment, becoming thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to recognize. See, that tells you a whole lot deeper. That presents something a whole lot deeper than just having some facts about a person. Than just having I know this. I know you like. I know you work here and work there and work the. You know, drive this kind of car. I got facts on you, but do you know Him? Have you experienced time? Do you have that relationship with Him? And see, most Christians, their relationship with Him ends at the Bible stories. But then they spend their life thinking, I wished I could have that. I wished I could have what. I could have Him touch my life. I could have Him do that. You just got to know Him. You got to know Him. You got to get to that place in your life where your life source becomes knowing Him in an intimate way. And so that's where we kind of moved over into last week, is that area of how do we develop in that intimacy? Because again, it's one thing to simply say, y'all need to be more intimate with God. And then you go home and go, okay, I need to be more intimate with God. How do I do that? I have no idea. That sounds simple. But how do I do that? Well, I wanted to do, there's a level of this where I just kind of really wanted to take you through a lot of steps that were like, I want to almost say gradual, progressive, that if you'll kind of hit this, that you'll find yourself in that place. And so last week we started with that first area. Is that beloved, it's got to be your desire. Because if it's not your desire, you're not going to put in the time or the effort to do it. We ran into a friend of Ryan's this week that he played ball with from time. He was in Little League, and we were actually selling him our old car, and so we were. We're talking. I kind of listened to Ryan and him talk quite a bit while we were waiting for insurance, proof of insurance to come across, all that kind of stuff. And so as I was listening to them talk, Ryan was talking about how the time that he'd put in and playing ball up at Thomas More and playing 4 years at Thomas More and all that kind of stuff. And the kid looked at him and said, "I don't know how you did it." He said, "I couldn't have played any more ball than what I played." He said, "I just don't know how you did it." Well, I do. Ryan had a desire. He wanted to. He wanted to play. There were times where the going got tough, and there's a part of him that said, "I want to quit," but his desire to keep going, his desire to keep moving was bigger than the desire to quit. And so when it comes to knowing Him and intimacy with Him, a lot of times you can go, okay, I'll do it if it doesn't cost me a lot, if it's not real, if there's not a ton of effort I have to put into it. It's kind of like how many here would like $1 million? Everybody, yeah, bring on $1 million. All right, here's what you got to do. You got to work real hard. You got to take a certain percentage of your money. You got to find a good interest bearing. You got to work it. You got to keep working and keep work, doing this and invest it. Find good investments, all that kind of stuff. And you're like, not if I have to do all that kind of stuff. I thought you were just going to give it to me. Right? And so it's kind of like, I don't need $1 million if I have to really work hard for it. But it's something you're just handing out. And that's where most people are. It's like, oh, I get to enjoy all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge. Okay, knowledge and intimacy. I'll go after that. That's really cool, Pastor Thad. I like that. I would like that. And then you're like, okay, now here's what you have to do for it. Oh. I remember a couple of years back, Elaine Homer was ministering, and she said something like, I want to pray for people that have weight problems. I believe God's going to help you break that, So a bunch of people were like quick, raise their hands. Yeah, I need help. Because why? Because they figure she's going to lay hands on them and they're going to lose weight. And I know, and you could see the eyes of people when she looked at him. She said, "I'm going to pray for you, but you're going to have to work it." And her prayer was, "Lord, help them to desire the right food." No, that's not what I stood up for. I stood up because if you were going to pray for me and I was going to lose weight easily, I was all for it. But I'm not going to have you pray and then still have to not eat my goodies. uncalled for. Right? And it was funny because they had a want to. They thought it'd be cool, but there wasn't the desire. And so that's the first thing that we dealt with here is this. If you don't desire it, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I'll seek after. I'm going after it because I desire it. If you desire this thing, if you're really saying, okay, I'm done playing the games, you're going to drop all the extra stuff and say, okay, I'm going to make time for prayer. I'm going to make time for this. I'm going to prioritize church. I'm going to prioritize seed. I'm going to prioritize the tithe. I'm going to prioritize my time in the Word. I'm going to prioritize everything else. I'm going to reschedule. It's going to be the top thing in my desire, desire, desire. The second thing that, again, I this one kind of was sitting there. The scripture says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse yourself. Same verse. It's kind of like, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. That tells me intimacy. And then in that same verse there in James chapter 4 verse 8, it goes right into this, cleanse yourself. In other words, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to draw near to God. He's going to draw near to me. And then some people are like, man, I was drawn near. I was really trying to pursue Him. I was really trying to get into this thing. And as I went in after Him, it just felt like I hit a wall. And I don't know why it is. And again, I'm not, sometimes it's just the enemy. Okay. It's like what Pastor Bumpus said on Wednesday is that the enemy just likes to mess with you sometimes. Okay. I think this afternoon there was like 20% chance of rain or 30% chance of rain this afternoon. And I don't know, did you look at the radar? Literally there was one little dot. And it was supposed to dissolve by before it ever got to Moorhead. And at 9:30, right when everybody's getting out to come to church, and it wasn't even supposed to rain. I looked at Jesse. I said, devil's stupid idiot. He's a moron. But he's more off than on. But so sometimes it is just the enemy doing it. But every now and then, I don't want to say every now and then, sometimes there are things that are just not right in your life. Maybe you've been playing around with some stuff and allowing other things in. And it's creating that place where you want to move in, but you can't move in. And we talked, I think, last week about the matter of trust and about how the intimacy is about a trust between two people. And that you can have a candlelight dinner and you can have the butler, you know, standing there serving you and say, would you like more, man? You know, and have all the roses and all this kind of stuff going on. But if you don't trust that person, there's no intimacy there. It's just a nice dinner. And so when you're trying to press into the things of God, and you're like, well, I'll turn on some music. But you've got something in there where you have messed around with some things that are not right, that have made your hands dirty. It's going to keep you from moving into the things of God. Now, I'm not saying that anybody in this room has that. But maybe, I didn't remember last week, maybe we're not talking about total just black and white where you have decided, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to steal and kill and sleep around and just, you know, do all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's not your thing, but maybe you just have some unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody. Maybe you've got some strife going on where you're arguing with some people and you had some, you know. Maybe you're a person who just, you've complained. You just got this a habit of complaining. See, all those things, whether you like it or not, are tarnishing that ability for you to come in to that relationship with God. So you need to examine yourself. You need to look at yourself and say, okay, I can't. If I want to move in, I'm going to have to forgive that person. If I'm going to move in, I'm going to have to stop operating like I've been operating in that area. Amen? The third thing we dealt with, so I just make sure I said, keep yourself clean is number two. Number three, and really make him the one you worship. And again, it just comes, I'd say it something like this, is that set your focus on him when there's so many other things around there that try to get your attention. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things. The New Living Translation says, set your sights and realities on heaven. Set that your focus and don't let there be 20 other things that get your attention. Let God be the center of it. Let Him be the primary thing that you worship at all times. Amen. All right, now as I get into number four, I'm going to insert something here, and then we're going to take a few steps that honestly probably could be one point, but a lot of subpoints. I'm just going to give you as different points. But number four is one that I again, there are several of these on here that I thought, do I? But I felt like this was such a great one to have early in the list, because if you're struggling with that intimacy, this is a very simple way to begin changing that and stirring up that intimacy. And that is just simply, and notice the simplicity is, acknowledge Him daily. And some of you are going, all right, that means big times of prayer daily, right? No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Number three we just got done was about making it a habit. Well, no, that's not what it is. All right, we're talking about making it a habit during your days to simply stop and say, I love you. You know what, when I wrote this thing down, the picture I got, I'm going to actually take a drink this time. The picture I got was a husband and wife. Let's say I'm a husband, Jessica's a wife. Let's say that I'm at church, and I just start thinking about Jessica, and I start thinking about her smile and her just rosy demeanor, and I start thinking, I miss her. And so I just go over and grab my phone, and I'm just thinking about her a little bit, and I just go, love you. Got to spell it right. My skinny fingers right there. And I just send her a little text. Now, when I was younger, it wasn't the text. It was a love note, right? You'd be in one class, and you'd be thinking of your, you'd be thinking, I really sent it, didn't I, Jessica? But you'd be sitting in one class, and your girlfriend would be in another class, and you just write a little note. Said, I was thinking about you, boopsie. You know, I just wanted you to know I missed you. I was thinking about you. I can hardly even focus on what the teacher is saying because of my thoughts towards you. You know. And then you fold it up into little whatever they fold it up to. And then you pass them the hallway and go, here, this is for your next class. And they go, okay, cool. And they sit down, they open up, like, oh, so romantic. And so just a love note, just to let them know you're thinking about them. And that's kind of, I know, see, sometimes we're thinking that God is looking for this big gestures, these big gestures of these times. And listen, that's where it will lead to. But when you're having difficulty, beloved, when you're sitting, you know, if you're at the house digging a hole, or you're at work working on whatever, getting your hands dirty, or you're whatever, and all of a sudden you just think for a second about your Heavenly Father, it's okay just to stop for a second and say, Heavenly Father, you're so good to me. You're better to me than I ever could have deserved. I just want to say thanks. It's just like a little love text or a love Snapchat or a love note, whichever generation you're from, to say, I love you. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Now be exalted among the heathen and exalted in the earth. There is a word that Psalms uses constantly that I think describes what I'm going to say here, what I'm saying here. And it's that word, Selah. Because that's after something that they've said and they've declared, David's declared a thing about God and he has said something about God and he's like, all right, now just stop a little bit and soak in that. Just meditate and think about that for a little bit. See if that don't get your crank turning. And you just stop and you're like, that is so cool, God. I want to say thank you. Simplistic. But beloved, the more you do that, the more aware you become of Him day by day, moment by moment, second by second, operating your life by just simply acknowledging Him day by day. And it will always, number four, if you'll really begin doing that, it's going to start really calling you to what number five is, and that's that daily time with Him. Now you can say it's an hour, you can say it's a half hour, you can say it's 15 minutes. Beloved, it doesn't matter, because one thing I know is the more in love you get with Him, the more you do it. In other words, if day by day you're consistently acknowledging Him throughout the day, you'll do it more and more through the day. Until eventually it's going to develop into stopping and say, I need to stop for a second and just spend some time with Him. I just need to spend some time, talking to Him, letting Him talk to me, and that might turn into a 10 minute, 15 minute, and then eventually that's not going to be quite enough because you're going to need to make it more and more and bigger. And daily time with Him goes beyond the simply acknowledging Him throughout your day and is talking about that one-on-one, looking Him face-to-face, that time with Him. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face-to-face as a man speaks to his friend. That's what we're talking about here. It's funny just watching when my kids get together with their friends because they'll stay up until all hours of the night and talk about, I don't know what they'll talk about. Ryan will talk about usually either basketball or Game of Thrones, I suppose, or something like that. And Allison, I don't know her. They're just weird. She's a girl, so they're weird. But they can talk for hours about what seemingly is nothing and just laugh. And that's what Moses kind of did. Now again, some people get real, I don't know, uptight with God and we know we've got to be serious with God. I think God enjoys it sometimes when you laugh with Him. But Moses stopped and he went in the tabernacle of meeting. And he stood there and he looked to God and just began talking to Him face to face as a man speaks to his friends. And this piqued the curiosity of the young man that was with him, Joshua. And he's standing there watching him, amazed at this relationship. Now this is going to get into something that we're going to talk about a little bit later, the last point. But this amazed him to watch Moses in this kind of relationship. And Moses got done and turned around and walked out and Joshua said, I'm going to try this thing. Hey, sir, how you doing? It says, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And we don't know what he did. Did he take over? Did he begin talking to him? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he just liked the way it felt. Isn't that one of the things about praise and worship sometimes, where we get into that place and you just kind of want to sit, stand there? You don't need to sing. We don't need to do nothing else. Let's just stand here. Let's just let this thing saturate in us. Because this feels good. This feels nice. So he may have just stood there. We don't know what kind of communication happened. All we know is Moses left, Joshua didn't leave, and Joshua didn't get fried. Because I think that really got the heart of God. Why do you think he was so willing to take a stand when everybody else was kneeling? Months later, as they were getting ready, we're going to move in and take this land? And he's like, yeah, we are. Why do you think he did that? Because he knew something about God. He was, hallelujah. He knew that that whatever was necessary, he knew it. Why did he know it? Because he knew God. There's some of us that want the miraculous. You want the testimony. You want the big. You want the overwhelming things of God. But you don't know Him enough to trust Him enough. And so you'll get in there with a candlelight dinner and you still don't trust Him. Because you don't know Him. You haven't spent that intimacy with Him, that time with Him. God is not looking for a formula of prayer. He wants a relationship. Well, how do I pray? Well, now again, there's people that they'll tell you, I start out by this. I start out by praise and worship, which is usually always good because it gets you into the courtrooms. But, you know, then they'll say, then the next thing you do is this. And the next thing you do is this. And so people will get down there and say, okay, this is what I have to do. And they're trying to follow a formula. If Jessica came up to me and, you know, one day she's talking to me and she goes, you know what my dream date would be for you to, I don't know. And then she just started saying stuff that she would really like. And so the next day, you know, she comes home from work and I've got my list out and I'm like, okay, first thing is we're going to sit and eat. All right. Sit there and eat. I'll sit here and eat. Okay. And we're going to eat. We're going to look in each other's eyes. Okay, look in my eyes. Okay. You got to drop something right there. And it's looking, be look in my eyes. We're going to look in my eyes. Okay. All right. Okay. We're done eating. And then, okay, have ice cream. All right, we're gonna go get ice. I'm gonna get ice cream. Here's ice cream. And we're gonna eat ice cream. And we're gonna share. A thing and use the same spoon. Use this. Here, I'll feed you. Okay. All right. I'm reading your notes here. She'd be going, stop it. That is not what I asked for. I didn't ask for you to follow a bunch of rules. I want you to sit down and have dinner with me and look into my eyes. In a love relationship. Not to follow a quota, not to follow a pattern, not to follow a plan. And that's why, see, I believe, I'm okay saying this, because there's some people who will fill up hours of prayer following a pattern. And there's other people who will do 10 to 15 minutes of just getting alone with Him, talking with Him, singing from their heart to Him, loving on Him, just talking with Him, and it's just that heart to heart, face to face communication with Him. And again, I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just simply saying, but those 15 unhindered, undistracted, unrehearsed minutes are more valuable than an hour of a patterned prayer that gets everything into it. You follow me on that? I've prayed for everybody. I've done everything. I've had petitions. I've had, you know, intercession. I've had this. I've done this. And you got your list right there, what you went through. And God's going, that's not what I wanted. I want you to just come and sit with me at your feet. That's all I wanted. Learn to talk, to love, to listen on a daily basis. I'm telling you what, the more you do that, the more you'll hear Him, and the more you'll hear Him, the more that time will become really real reality to you. Does that make sense to you? Amen. If you feel like it's just one way, like me talking, I've got to fill this time up. But the more you begin learning to hear His voice, the more that time becomes valuable to you. Number six. All right, we've got to move a little bit. Sing and worship daily. A lot of, like when we're talking on Sunday nights about praise and worship, a lot of what we're talking about is in the corporate setting. But we're going to talk about it tonight. This got a little bit of a hint. Is that one of the best ways to learn really to worship Him and to get good at that intimate worship with Him in corporate setting is to do it on your own. When you're all by yourself and you begin just worshiping Him and singing a song. And again, I'm not talking about practice. I'm just simply saying that it's quietly turning on a CD, turning on music, not turning on anything. I envy Ryan has taught himself to play the acoustic, and he's getting better on it. And we'll leave it at that. But there's times we'll listen in his room and we'll hear his guitar going and we'll hear him singing a song to the Lord. And I'm going, I envy that. Because literally I can sit down and play chords. When I write out new songs, I sit down and I'll sit down at this piano and I'll go, I think Beulah's walked in on me a couple of times where I'm up there going, and just, you know, making sure the chords are right. And ain't nobody in this room going to go, whoo, you touched heaven with that. But when you listen to Jessica play and she's like, boo, 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 boop, and she's doing all that kind of stuff, it's real easy for us to enter in. And so, but it's harder to carry that around places than acoustic guitar. But there's that beauty. If you can play your own instrument and just sit down and just begin singing songs to the Lord, and loving on Him, or just no music at all and just begin singing. It's just beautiful. It's wonderful. It's what God wants from us. And it just begins stirring that intimacy with Him. I told you before that sometimes it becomes hard for me. I gotta watch myself when I just have praise music going in my office. Because there's times where I'll be trying to get some work done and I just literally a song will come on. I'll just kind of have to push myself away and kick back and let the tears flow and just kind of and stop because it's created that atmosphere of communion with Him. Psalm 34 verse 1 says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually on my mouth. That's that law. That's just a proclamation of praise. And we need to learn to do it more and more often. Are you not much of a singer? That's okay. Still learn to praise Him. Because again, there's a song that we haven't sung in a long time, and I've thought about it many times since we've done this. It's a song from Jeff Moore. In the distance, and listen to my heart, hear my spirit sing, a song of praise that flows from those who you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. And that's exactly what God's listening to the praise and the music that comes from your hearts, not just from your mouths. Amen. And can I throw this out at you before we move to the next one? Don't give him judgment. This is one of the things I have written down here. Not just when it's convenient, like when you when you're driving to work and you can turn on a CD or turn on the Christian radio station and just listen to music a little bit, sing a couple choruses a little bit, and say I've done my duty. That's not a relationship type thing. That is, if all I gave my wife was the time I had left over in my day, and I did not purpose to give her time, it would not be nurturing to our relationship. But again, I'd say praise purposely, praise intentionally. Find that quiet time, get that quiet time, get wrapped up in loving Him and praise and worship to Him. Amen. Number seven. So sing Number six, sing and worship daily. Number seven, speak in your heavenly language. Do it more often. I say this a lot, but I don't think we can ever speak in our heavenly language too often. We're talking about tongues. So if you don't have that heavenly language, if you don't have that language, then this is something you cannot participate in unless you open yourself up and receive it. Which again, I have there in my notes that this is a step that only those who have that language can participate in, but it can also refer back to the first one. The desire is that the more you desire that intimacy, the more you'll desire this gift. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Use that heavenly language. You're driving down the road, just use that heavenly language. You're sitting in your lazy boy, kind of relaxing for a little while, use that heavenly language. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." So the first thing we see here is that when you use your heavenly language, you are literally blocking out everybody else around you. There is nobody else that you're talking to. You're not through prayer asking for a favor. You know, I go over to Jessica and I say, "Jessica, will you pray with me for a second?" And I'll say, "Lord, please help Neil to be moved to do this or that, you know. Please, Lord, help Neil do this." And Neil's like, "Oh, God didn't speak to me, but I heard the prayer," right? So there's no extra, you know, meaning in there. It's just you and God, you speaking straight to Him, whether you know it or not. And I like verse 13 where it says, "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." So the way that you participate in this is that God lets you in on what's being said. So that there's the give and take. God allows you to understand what's being said, and you are like, cool. It's just you and Him. You cannot get anybody else involved when you speak in that heavenly language. It's just you and Him. And it just fosters that intimacy between you. And then there are things about God that you'll never quite understand without praying in the Spirit. He'll give you revelation and insight about His person when you're speaking in the Spirit. So make it a habit daily. Daily. Say it with me, daily.
Daily.
Daily pray in the Spirit. Amen. All right, let's move on. I gotta go quick here. So, number eight, build your intimacy with the Word, through the Word. Joshua's chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth." I'm going to keep talking about it. What? What am I going to talk about? The word of the law. The law, the word. Meditate. I'm going to meditate in it there day and night, that I may observe to do all that is written in it. Then my way will be prosperous and I'll have great success. But again, it is a daily, daily, daily intimacy through the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. The key to intimacy is knowing better, and there's no better way to know than to read the Word and to ask God for the direction, the wisdom you need in what you read. That's one of the beauties. When Jessica Beecraft, she ordered all the books that we gave away on Father's Day. We had discussed what to get, and when she gave it, I noticed that the book, The Goodness of God, was a big book, and then the next one was a little bit smaller, but it was loaded. There's a lot of stuff in there, and then I saw that one on resting, the resting place or whatever, the intimacy with Him, and I thought, oh, that's a lot smaller. But I've had more people tell me that book, that little book, packs a punch. It is just a day by day. It's just small little excerpts of information of giving that and stuff on that order. But again, it's that intimacy. It's that little word. It's reading. You get to know Him better, and you get to know His heart, His character, just by spending time in the Word. Amen. I'm gonna leave it off at that, just for time's sake. But again, get in the Word, read the Word, make it a daily part of your life. Number 9, walk in obedience. Now again, I believe what we're dealing with when we hit number 9 here of walking in obedience is we're talking about a matter of trust. Is that you can be trusted, because you know I'll come through. I can be trusted with Him. It is open communication. He can ask me to do whatever, and He knows it's going to get done. There's no problems there. When you find out what God wants in your life, you just do it. In a love relationship, a man and a wife, you begin understanding what that person likes or dislikes, what bothers them and doesn't bother them. And beloved, I'm going to tell you, if you continue to do what bothers them, then you need to re-identify your love for them. Amen. You are not as deep in intimacy as you think you are with them if you're continuing to do things that you know bother them. And again, they can get over it. Well, you could stop it. I want you to think about that. Is what you're doing so important that you would rather do that thing than have an intimacy with your spouse? Scripture says, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You jump ahead a few verses, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he'll come into him, and make our abode with him. That's intimacy, man. We're going to live together. We're going to live together intimately. But that doesn't come just because. It happens because of your obedience and keeping His word and doing it. I'm going to leave that one alone. If I come back on it later, I got to finish this up though. So obedience. Obedience is a matter of trust. Obedience is a matter of covenant union. It builds a trust. All right. Number 10. And this, again, I'm going to hit this one quick here. But deal with the area of worry. I have eliminate worry, but I'm just going to tell you to deal with it. Because, again, if I'm in a relationship with my wife and I'm constantly worried she's not going to keep her word to me, there's a problem with our intimacy. Now again, I think all these do come. That's the reason this is number 10 and not number 1, because this is something that will come the more you spend time with Him and all that kind of stuff. But if you notice there's worry, I'm worrying about my tithe, I'm worrying about the seed sowing, I'm worrying about obeying Him. When worry is mixed in, there's a problem with the trust. Again, you can sit down with a candlelight dinner, but if you don't trust him, don't trust the person across on the other side, you are not in an intimacy with him. You're not in a relationship with him. Because you're saying, I don't trust you. But if you do these things above, it'll begin to eliminate worry. And it's something that we have to deal with. Bible's full of it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray for everything. Simply worry is a lack of trust. And we've got to deal with that so we can move into that higher level. I think it's interesting. As we go into number 11 here, if you refer back to Exodus, you don't have to turn there. Exodus 33, where it says Moses went into the tabernacle and talked with God face to face like a man talks with his friend. But he wasn't alone. He had a tag along. He had a stray. Joshua is going. He comes rocking in, stands back in the corner, and he watches the whole thing. Joshua had a different experience on Mount Sinai than the rest of the Israelites. The rest of the Israelites were building golden calves and you know, complaining, and Moses is standing up, because the mountain was covered with the glory. And Joshua was sitting on the side of the mountain going, I'm going to give you some of this. But his key was he stayed really close with a man who knew his God. Number 11, and I had to throw this in there. It was kind of sat on my notes in a corner. I didn't know how to use it, didn't know if I should use it. And it made my list uneven. Went from 10 to 11. It's not even a baker's dozen. They don't even have a name for 11. Hang out with those who will aid you in that intimacy. Who will show you how to walk in intimacy. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 14:7, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge on their lips. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. The people you hang around are either going to help your intimacy with God or hurt it. Listening to those who have experience, those who God has placed in your life, listening to them, following them. Remember I talked about a couple weeks ago, following the lead, I think it was called, with the dogs. Remember that, where if a dog doesn't have a scent and he looks over there and all of a sudden one of the dogs is, but he may not smell it, but he'll move over to that position, get in the same position, and all of a sudden he gets the scent. And that's where a lot of times, like in praise and worship or in those kind of things, you can have somebody up there going, just getting overwhelmed by the glory of God, just melting in His presence, and you're back there going, hey, they've got to do it. He's leading worship. They've got to do it. She's a pastor. They've got to do it. She's, you know. Or you can get yourself in a position. Maybe not standing, you know, where you're standing. Get right up front. Say, all right, no. I'm going to get right up front here. Seems like it's hitting right here real good. Maybe not this close, okay. But I'm going to get real close. I'm going to get my hands up. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to block everything out because I want to connect with whatever is going on up there. Think about this. Luke 2, 46. I'm wrapping this thing up. I'm kind of done. I made it through all 11. Luke 2, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, remember this when they left Jesus behind and they were looking for him? Where did they find him? They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now we know Jesus. We know Jesus wasn't lacking a lot or anything like that, but when they were looking for him, they could find him someplace learning. He wanted to know more. And even when he got, why did he spend the time he spent in prayer? Time alone with God. John 5:30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. He spent time with God. He surrounded himself with the right people. Because he wanted intimacy. Because I know some people are like, well, no, he already knew everything that happened in the old. No, he didn't. You know how he learned the laws of the Old Testament? You know how he learned what the Old Testament, what Isaiah and all those kind of said? He wasn't born with that information in him. He spent time in the synagogue. It was his custom to go to the synagogue. His time alone with God, God would give him insight. Because he desired it more than anything. So when you found him someplace talking with, asking questions, listening, and ultimately teaching. With people that were going to build him up. Amen. Let's stand together.